97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the one, the only, the legendary Ted Nugent, my blood brother, on the line with us here this afternoon. I had to hit that part there. There you go. No better person for closing arguments than Uncle Ted. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing so good, Mark. It's actually scary because my effervescent masculinity is completely out of control this time of year. By the way, everybody, it's the rut, not just the white-tailed deer rut, but it's the American spirit rut. And are things insane, Mark, or what?
They are insane. And I guess I almost had to introduce you today as another piece of garbage in the land of Trump, right? That seems to be the word of the day, Ted.
Yes, but I'm a sweet, aromatic lump of garbage that is rock solid in the Assica. You know, Mark, it's funny, but it's not funny. It really is treacherous what we're dealing with, what Uncle Sam represents right now. It is heartbreaking. But let me tell you, I know you call for positive light in the darkness from the old guitar player, and I'm bringing you positive light because once again, I shared another campfire like I do every weekend, July, August, September, October, into November, and then on my birthday and New Year's down in Texas. And I'm surrounded by dozens of great Americans that believe in radical extremism like God, family, country, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Ten Commandments, law and order, good over evil, work ethic, all that radical stuff. And we are the majority, but academia, government, media, big tech, they are such treasonous scoundrels that they spit in our face and call us garbage. So my battle cry has always been, which is why we are soul brothers, is you give the world the best you got, and you get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway, and it's going to happen November 5th, I pray to God.
You know, and I'm feeling, this is dangerous, Ted, because I'm feeling pretty good about the way things are trending. My word of caution is always what happened 2 years ago, because 22 was not quite as successful as some of us had hoped. But look, I think that common sense, and there's no bigger common sense guy than you that I know, is really going to kind of maybe rule the day. Donald Trump talks about common sense. A lot of this stuff, our friends on the left, they may not be vocal about it, like, you know, boys playing against girls in sports. They agree with us, Ted, on those issues.
And let the author of Wango Tango put a spotlight on what is the most common and sensible reality in the world, that the Supreme Court, boy, thank God there's a Supreme Court, not just a really good court and really smart court and really constitutional, but they're supreme, Mark. They are so supreme that they had to dig deep and have a conference and review the statistics to determine that non-U.S. citizens don't get to vote. I would have never figured that.
I know.
Could you have figured that out?
You got to go to Harvard for that, Ted. You really do, or Princeton or something like that. I talked about this yesterday. I was on the road. I actually was in Texas over the weekend visiting my first grandson, Ted Nugent. How about that? Down in Houston.
Hallelujah.
And I'm driving. I'm listening to Fox on Friday, and I heard this story develop out of Virginia. I just couldn't believe it. How could a federal judge in the United States of America rule that way? And then another federal judge kind of upholds it before the Supremes get involved. It's baffling. It's mind-boggling. It really is.
Well, let me put a spotlight on the mind-boggling bafflement, because you don't have to go far. Even the guitar player can figure this stuff out. So a Supreme Court justice was nominated not because of qualifications, not because of constitutional truisms, but because of gender and color of her skin. And then the Supreme Court justice, who will make life and death determinations for Americans, wouldn't and couldn't and refuse to tell you what a woman is.
Right.
That's the Supreme Court. So don't be baffled. The only time you should be baffled, Mark, is when stuff makes sense.
Well, I use that cut from Ketanji Brown Jackson in the open to my show because it's so stunning. And by the way, here's something else. I think you might agree with this. You know, last week, Anderson Cooper asked Kamala Harris, because fascism seems to be the word of the day, Ted, if she believes that, you know, Donald Trump is a fascist. If he followed up with a question, could you define fascism? I'm pretty sure she couldn't do it.
Again, the examples, a segment of our fellow humanity, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, will actually support men beating the tar out of a woman in an Olympic sport. I mean, you don't have to go any further than that. or that you can put tampons in the boys' bathroom. I mean, we could go on for thousands of hours, Mark, with examples how the so-called leadership in our country have lost their minds. And so my point being, and thank you, Mark, because you bring truth to darkness every day, truth, logic, and common sense. You're a radical and extremist because you believe in God, family, country, law, and order.
Absolutely.
You bring a spotlight to the violations of those with the most power. Remember, for example, and again, we could never run out of examples. Remember when the FBI was a law enforcement agency? Can you remember that far back? There are so many offensive and strange anti-truth, anti-logic, anti-common sense running amok out there that I give you Kamala Harris, I give you Joe Biden. I don't want to hate the guy. I feel so sorry for him that his so-called family and friends will put him out in the open to embarrass himself every time he is visible. How sad
it is, pretty
is
sad.
That?
It really is sad. And I think a lot of us felt that over the summer. Now, I got to ask you, did you by any chance, I don't watch very much, but I got to give them credit here because they've actually been funny, at least on the Harris Wall side. Have you seen any of the SNL stuff like Jim Gaffigan playing, Walls or Dana Carvey playing Biden? Have you checked that out?
You know, I've never actually watched the show anymore since Belushi
died. Yeah, it's terrible.
But,
it's terrible.
I do see the excerpts, and though
they're funny. Yeah,
those are funny. Those are good. I really get a kick out of them. Of course, I'm a Richard Pryor fan. I get to jam with Richard Pryor, Sam Kinison, Rodney Dangerfield.
I get to
hang out with these guys. Robin Williams, and guess who was the funniest guy at the Thai restaurant at 3 a.m?
Ted Nugent.
It was me.
Yeah,
Mark.
Absolutely. You know, I was so lucky. I saw Kinison back in the day. That's amazing. The resume that Ted Nugent has. But Gaffigan in particular, I wanted to kind of talk about Tim Walz because this guy, this bozo, can you even imagine for a moment him on the world stage?
I don't have to. I see it happening. And again, you use the word baffling. This guy, the things he did as governor of Minnesota, the connection that Tim Walz has with China, this guy has such a toxic anti-American vapor trail in his life that it's another example of the dumbing down of America through our anti-education system, where people are so brain dead and clueless about historical realities that they allow the Kamala and the Walls to represent them, and they cheer them on, and they're cheering on clearly dangerous, criminal, corrupt powers to be. So once again, you know, we could wallow in the toxic black goo of the state of affairs. But let me bring the most important thing in the world. I'm sitting here in the Man Cave Cuckoo's Nest, the arsenal of democracy, surrounded by tens of thousands of Remington ammo. I got a new
pallet
awesome. Of Remington 10
millimeter.
And I've got Jackson, my new puppy, which is a miracle dog, Mark, and Coco, the world's greatest German Shepherd duck hunter, and Sadie, the motorboat duck retriever. I am having in 2024, with all the ugliness around us, the greatest hunting season of my life. God has given me these three dogs. I've never seen more ducks. There's more deer in North America than ever in recorded history, and there's more venison in my freezer than ever in recorded history. So we can improvise, adapt, and overcome. Shemaine and I voted early. We're encouraging people to vote early. In fact, if you're confused, go to Hunt the Vote. HuntTheVote.org. If you haven't voted, then the enemies of America would like to thank you for not participating in this sacred experiment in self-government. So there's a lot of bad and ugly out there, but the Nugent family is celebrating more good than bad and ugly, so we can hopefully eliminate as much of that bad and ugly as possible.
The Reardon family is right there with you, and I mentioned the grandson, but I love this, and I shared this with you in August. I wasn't sure how it's going to turn out. My daughter started talking earlier this year. She's 9 and a half now, Ted. She's been around deer camp her whole life, right? She said, I think I want to shoot a deer. So we got her going with the gun. She was shooting a .223, hit the targets. I got out for a special doe season a couple of weeks ago, and of course what happened, we had a nice buck that came and taunted us for almost like 8 minutes, and she could have shot that, but we did get a buck. It ended up being a button buck, and we have venison already in the freezer. So to your point, this is already, as a father who is so thrilled that his daughter is hunting, the best hunting season ever, Ted Nugent.
Well, what she's experiencing is the martial arts of marksmanship, safe gun handling,
yes,
and balancing herds for true conservation environmental upgrade. That's what your daughter, so you are, I named you, Mark Reardon, the father of the year for driving, guiding your daughter on a True North Compass setting. But you know, you talked about shooting a button buck. The cuter the critter, the sweeter the meat. That little fawn buck, it's going to be so delicious. Be sure you treat that, that sacred flesh.
24 hours, with 24 hours later, I was wrapping bacon with some teriyaki sauce with the tenderloins, and it was delicious.
Yeah, actually, when you shoot a button buck, you can wrap the bacon with the button buck meat, because the button buck meat is candy. I donate tons of venison to soup kitchens and homeless shelters. The charities around here consider me Mother Teresa with a Matthew's bow. But we are generous in giving and loving, but I keep the young back straps. I'm a generous, loving guy, but I'm not an idiot.
Oh, they're the best. No, you're absolutely right about that. That's a smart thing. Well, listen, it's always great to hook up with you. I was thinking about you because this thing is coming down to the wire. I feel pretty good. I don't know. You know, your state, Ted Nugent, Michigan, is going to play a big role, I think.
I just got a call again pretty much every other day. I got Chris Kobach, the Attorney General of Kansas.
Yes,
he's here hunting deer.
I know him.
Right,
yeah, I know Chris.
Yeah. Great, great constitutionalist. He's at the Hillsdale College, probably the last hope for real conservative values in America. So I'm in a whirlwind of conservatism, conservation, and constitutionality. And I get calls every day from the Trump team, and they're doing a lot of work in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And they want me to be in Grand Rapids with the president at midnight this next Monday. They want me at the colleges in Detroit tomorrow. So I'm doing everything I can. Mark, if you saw me right now, you'd see huge bags under my eyes because I'm not sleeping much. But those are ammo bags, so it's going to be okay. I am so dedicated to get God, family, country, constitution, law, and order back into the American policy dream that I am. All my friends are dedicated. And again, I cannot overstate HuntTheVote.org. We have got hundreds of thousands of heretofore non-voting conservative licensed hunters to finally participate. HuntTheVote.org. We do not endorse a candidate, but when you talk God, family, country, law, and order, you know who we're not talking about.
Yes, I think and by the way, I'd put my chips on Ted Nugent, Kid Rock over Eminem in Michigan. How about that?
You think? Yeah, we play real music.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you're awesome. I love you. Thank you for jumping on here with me this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Mark, God bless, Godspeed, aim small, miss small, and God bless America. Let's get this country great again.
All right, I have audio cut of the day forthcoming here. Don't forget, we have our final Reardon Roundtable this Friday before Election Day. Jane will be here, former Senator Lamping, State Rep Steve Butts. Also on Friday, CBS News correspondent Aaron Moriarty. Aaron and the team from 48 Hours came in over the summer, and they're doing a story on my friend Chris Smith, who was shot in the head a few years ago, the night before Thanksgiving. Chris is going to give us a preview of that tomorrow, but Aaron, who interviewed me for the story, I'm told I will have a small appearance in 48 hours, but she's going to be with us on Friday to talk about the story. They had a lot of interest in Chris's story, which is really amazing if you haven't heard it. For our next guest, let me play a little intro music here.
Oh, I love trash.
There you go. Dwayne Patterson is with us, a contributor at hotair.com. I figured this was perfect for you. Oscar the Grouch, how are you?
That is so hysterical to me. Hi, Mark. How you doing? Did Fred tell you the text that I just sent him right before I went on?
He did, but here's the deal. I opened with Oscar the Grouch a couple hours ago, so I had the music handy, so it was a perfect fit because, yeah, you said, you can tell the audience what you said to Fred.
Well, you know, Fred was giving me a 10-minute heads up that I'm going to go on. I said, that's great. I'm here. You know, it's your world. I just live in it. And he said, in a dump. And I said, we are all Oscar the Grouch today.
Yes, yes.
And,
the
reason this is so funny, I know we're going to get to wherever you want to go, but the reason this is so funny is there is no chance that you just saw this. This literally hit on Twitter X about 30 seconds ago, while you were in your break. There is now video of Donald Trump riding shotgun in a garbage truck in his signature orange construction safety vest. And on the side of the garbage truck, it now says Trump Vance 2024 Make America Great Again, and he's holding a presser.
I'm looking at it. I'm going to retweet it from Breaking 911 right now. This is amazing.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin, he's doing this. It's the greatest thing in the world. You thought the McDonald's stunt was the greatest troll job ever. This may have just broken the internet.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that you guided me. I'm going to retweet this right now. That is brilliant.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
And, you know, let's just talk about the last let's go back to maybe even 72 hours, because this thing with Madison Square Garden takes on a life of its own. And then Joe Biden says what he did last night and just kind of canceled the whole thing for Kamala, didn't he?
Canceled it and then some, actually. It's, you know, you kind of in your mental image, I wish I had the skill set to do video production like I do with audio. I'm a radio guy. I do sound.
Yeah, me too.
But I would love to see the bit of Kamala Harris on the ellipse, right? And you see the White House as a backdrop behind her. And then as she's speaking, the camera zooms in past Kamala Harris and zooms in tighter and brings the White House into view and keeps moving in, keeps scrolling in until you get to the Oval Office. You go through the window of the Oval Office and you see Joe Biden hunched over his laptop on the Resolute desk, telling half the country they're garbage and giving the bird to Kamala Harris through the window. That's what you want to see, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, Tom Bevin raised this point, too. At the same time she's doing all that, he's on this Zoom call saying that there's not a lot of coordination there, is there?
Doesn't seem to be, does there?
No, it doesn't seem to be, which maybe surprises me just a little bit.
Scott Jennings on CNN last night said, look, you want to go with the apostrophe nonsense? I don't buy it for a second, but I'll give you your premise. Here's the thing. You can try to defend and deflect it all you want. What in the world was he doing stepping on her big moment?
Yeah.
It's political malpractice, unless, of course, he meant to do it.
Sue, Dwayne just confused me. He mentioned the name Scott Jennings. Do you know that name at all? Have you?
Yes, I do.
We've lost him, Dwayne. He's a dear friend of mine. He's been a contributor for 8 years, and CNN is demanding so much of him. I've lost my friend Scott. We'll have him back. We're going to get him on before the election, but I had to kind of throw in a little joke about that because he's been killing it. You've seen him, right? He's been killing it on CNN.
Oh, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of McConnell guys that are out there. And say what you want about Mitch McConnell. I know a lot of people in Trump world don't like him at all, but the team that McConnell had around him, John Ashbrook, the guys from the Ruthless podcast, Scott Jennings was another McConnell guy.
That's right.
He had world-class communicators, and they're the next generation of messengers, and they're great.
Well, let's kind of look at the landscape here, Dwayne. I'm nervous because I feel good about next week, and that's sometimes a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to be nervous. You'd much rather be in that position than think that all was lost and how am I going to put a happy face on the radio for the next week?
I agree. And I've talked to several of our pundits. I'm sure some of these folks you talk to every once in a while, Josh Krasauer, Selena Zito, were both on earlier. And I think they both said the same thing. Look, at this point in this game, you'd much rather be in Trump's position with the polling than Kamala's. Now, there's a couple of outliers that came out today. One that showed him with a 5-point deficit, I think, in Michigan. And I don't know that I believe that. Do I think that she can still win Michigan? Sure, because it's going to be close. But again, we all focus on Pennsylvania right now.
We all focus on Pennsylvania. The two outliers you're talking about are Michigan and Wisconsin. They were conducted by CNN. CNN didn't do the polling. They ordered the polling. They were the customer. The people that did the polling was Susquehanna. Now, going into this, Susquehanna, do you know what their miss was on the final Wisconsin and Michigan poll in 2020? Do you know what their error rate was?
No, I don't. Significant?
9.7%.
Oopsie. Yeah.
Yeah, they missed it by just a tad. They will not disclose, Susquehanna will not disclose the final poll as to what the ideological methodology is, what the partisan breakdown is. They won't tell you that. What they will tell you is they polled a whopping total of 800 people in Michigan and 700 people in Wisconsin. And that's how they know she's up. And of those, CNN's recap of the story says that Susquehanna weighted the poll based upon what they think the final the voter ID is going to be in those respective states, what they think it's going to be. Now, they won't tell you what they think that number is. We're just to trust them, apparently. Here's what I think happened there. CNN was the place that Kamala Harris literally did a swan dive into a concrete empty pool on their with a town hall with Anderson Cooper, right? That was last Thursday. CNN picks up the phone, calls Susquehanna and says, we've got to do something or we're not going to have anything that we can talk about. We've got to maintain this thing as close. Give me a poll that shows Kamala up in swing states. Yes, sir. CNN would be happy to do that. And so they did a suppression poll. And the suppression poll they came out with all of a sudden magically shows Kamala Harris up 6. Here's the problem. There is also a Rasmussen poll. There is a Fox News poll. There is 2 other polls that all show movement towards Trump from where it was even a month ago. And they have it at either a tie at the worst or Trump up 2 at best.
Yeah,
in the same state. It's an outlier. It doesn't work.
It is. So let me play. And I haven't heard this audio yet. I pulled this. Sometimes I'm doing the show. You can appreciate this. I see a clip. I want to hear it. Ethan pulled this. This is Harry Enten on CNN basically saying, look, if he wins this thing, the signs were there.
Just 28% of Americans, voters, think the country is going in the right direction, is on the right track. And I want you to put that into a historical perspective for you. Okay, what's the average percentage of the public that thinks that the country is on the right track when the incumbent party loses? It's 25%. That 25% looks an awful bit like that 28% up there. It doesn't look anything like this 42% doesn't look anything like this 28%. So the bottom line is, very few Americans think the country is on the right track at this particular point. It tracks much more with when the incumbent party loses than with it wins. In fact, I went back through history. There isn't a single time in which 28% of the American public thinks the country is going on the right track in which the incumbent party actually won. They always lose when just 28% of the country believes that the country is on the right track.
By the way, I think 28 is inflated. If I had to guess, talk about an inflated poll. I think it's more like 15%, but that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely. The sign, and Harry's right. The signs are there. Now, can you create a universe where Kamala wins? Yeah. The universe is she gets shellacked pretty much everywhere, but they swamp the Rust Belt states with women voters and they juice their women turnout that are voting on the abortion issue and nothing else. And they eke out, 5 vote victories in the 3 Rust Belt states. And that gets her to 270. That's their only true path. Now, I think the odds of that happening are less than 1%. You look at early voting in Wisconsin, in the Wow counties, the Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee counties, which are the caller counties north and
right
west
around,
of Milwaukee.
Yeah, right around. Waukesha County is right to the west. It's sort of for folks here living in St. Louis and people like Chesterfield or an area like that.
Right. Those are Republican strongholds, and Trump is killing it in early voting, way up over where they were in 2020. Simultaneously, in Dane and Milwaukee counties, Democratic strongholds, their turnout she's still up. Kamala Harris is still up. But the numbers they're turning in are way off of where they were 4 years ago. Same thing's happening in Pennsylvania. Democrats are terrified because they keep looking for votes to bank in Philly, and they're just not there. She's ahead. Philly is still voting in larger numbers in early voting for Kamala than Trump. But statewide, if you look at the early vote to date, the Democrats have banked somewhere around 380,000 votes. They banked 1.1 million.
The trends are fascinating. They really are. Look, I would love to talk more about this. I'm up against the clock here because we've gone on too long. Dwayne, it's been great to get your insights. We're almost across the finish line, and we'll talk again soon. I appreciate coming on this afternoon.
You got it.
Let's back in here for Audio Cut of the Day, and I have to get right to it because we have a little bit to cover here, so let's do this.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the Audio Cut of the Day.
I may be able to squeeze a second portion of Audio Cut of the Day, but this is absolutely the winner. And thank you, Dwayne Patterson, who just alerted us to this, and I retweeted it. So you've seen the video, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is Trump in a garbage can in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
No. In a garbage truck.
Garbage truck. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. What did I say? Garbage can?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting visual. Thank you for correcting me.
Yes.
In a garbage truck in Green Bay, Wisconsin, just doing a news conference, essentially.
I love Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico loves me. I don't know anything about a comedian. I love Puerto Rico. Nobody's done more for Puerto Rico than me. I took care of them when they had the big hurricanes. And nobody gets along better with Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rican people than me. They love me and I love them.
So there you go. And, you know, for people not completely dialed into the controversy, the comments that were made at the MSG rally were from this comedian that was also telling very raunchy yet funny jokes at the Tom Brady roast. We played the audio of Jon Stewart yesterday, kind of giving at least credit
right
to the comedian because he was telling jokes. So it is a little different than Joe Biden saying what he said, and that's been something that's been dominating the news cycle all day.
Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done.
Yeah, it's just an apostrophe. Or an umlaut,
I still don't even see how that
no,
went.
No, it's not. Nice try. It ain't working. We'll talk tomorrow at 3. Have a great Wednesday night. Go Dodgers. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Get more at 971talk.com.